today as we come to the table.
Leprosy in Scripture also had another application. It is a picture of sin in the Bible. It starts under the surface unseen. It spreads across the body and it makes you numb where you no longer feel it any longer. Is that not a great description of sin? I can remember as a kid growing up, the first time I did something wrong, my heart's beating a million miles a minute. Oh no, I'm doing this, but I'm going to because I really want to do it, but nobody will know. It's under the surface, right? Maybe I'll try it again. So I go to try it again. My heart's beating a little bit less this time, and it's easier, and I get away with it. And the more I do it, you know what? I get number and number to the fact that it's wrong until finally, what's the big deal?
Throughout our journey of life, we're constantly making mistakes. No one is born perfect, and we strive to do our best. Even when we think we're staying strong and not messing up, at some point, failure is still inevitable. When you're at rock bottom with seemingly nowhere to turn, what do you do? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark reminds us that like a disease, sin will run rampant in your life if you let it in. All it takes is letting a little bit of it in at a time, and before you realize, it will destroy you. Jesus died in your place and wants to save you from yourself. End the things in your life that you hate through His unending grace. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 8. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
We are ready. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew chapter 8. And we look today at a time of miracles. Let's read the first couple of verses there in chapter 8 together. Again, notice what it says there in chapter 8 of Matthew verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you are willing to make us clean. And even as this leper cried out in that day, Lord, if you're willing, make me clean. And you were willing, and we're going to see you cleanse him. God, you also are willing to cleanse us today. And Father, it might be a physical healing, it might be a spiritual healing, whatever the case might be. Lord, we need to be cleansed, and we need you to touch us and cleanse us. And I pray you would just help us to receive that and have open hearts to receive. I ask once again that you would be the teacher by the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, we look forward to what you have for us this morning. We thank you and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we come to chapter 8, and now he's coming down the hillside after this, and we're going to see he goes into a time, as I've entitled today, a time of miracles. Now, when he comes back down, there are going to be some chronological miracles that he does, but not every miracle here in chapter 8 happened at this very moment. And why would Matthew do that? Every gospel writer wrote a little bit different when they wrote the gospels. Remember, this was written from a kingly perspective, and so he wrote it in such a way, and he would group things together to, again, show the Jews and to reach their hearts about different aspects of the king that he wanted them to see. And one of them was, of course, miracles. And so we're going to see a multitude of miracles here in chapter 8. Again, not all of them in this particular chapter. If you want to get a chronological order, then go back and look at the other gospels, and you can get that chronological. His emphasis today and what Matthew wanted us to see was miracles. Now, when we think about miracles, the question often comes up, why is it that the Lord healed everyone around him that he came in contact with when he walked on the earth? Now, that doesn't mean, and he did. He healed everyone that he came in contact with and that was around him as he walked on the earth. That doesn't mean he healed everyone in Israel, and that doesn't mean he healed everyone in the world, but it is interesting to know that the Lord did heal everyone around him. And this has led a lot of people, again, to falsely believe that because of that, Jesus wants everyone healed right now. Again, that comes from a lot of the health and wealth doctrine and this type of thing. And so they say, well, here's our evidence. Jesus healed everyone that was here when he was here, that was around him. That is true, but you have to remember the context. Why did Jesus heal everyone around him? Jesus said, know this, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is among you. And that is when Jesus walked on the earth, he walked in the authority and power of the kingdom of God. And so everyone he came in contact with was healed. We know that in the kingdom of God, everyone will be healed. We know that during the 1,000-year reign, everyone will be healed. But the question is, why is everyone not healed now? Again, there's that teaching that says it's because you lack faith. That's not true at all. If that was the case, what about the Apostle Paul? And I'll tell you this, I've actually heard people say, well, Paul didn't have enough faith. If Paul didn't have enough faith, I have no chance. I can just tell you that. Because Paul had more faith than I'll ever have. And if Paul couldn't be healed by faith, nobody can be healed by faith. But Paul himself cried out to God 3 times to be healed. It's interesting that Paul only cried out 3 times. How many of us would stop at 3? What does that tell me? That tells me that Paul was used to God answering his prayer. Paul was used to seeing people healed when he laid hands on them. Paul was used to being healed when he said, Lord, I need to be healed. And suddenly Paul says, Lord, heal me, and nothing happens. And he says, okay, he prays a second time. Lord, I pray you to heal me, and nothing happens. Curiosity rising in Paul's heart and mind. And then finally the 3rd time, Lord, heal me. And God says, I'm not going to heal you, Paul. As a matter of fact, not only am I not going to heal you, I gave you this infirmity. And the reason I gave it to you is because you've seen things others have not seen. And I don't want you to get prideful. You saw the 3rd heaven. And if I don't use something in your life to keep you humble, I'm not going to be able to use you in ministry. And what that teaches us is God not only allows illnesses in our life for different reasons for his purposes. Note this, sometimes God himself is the one that makes us ill. Now, for a lot of people, that's shocking, especially if you come from a background that God wants to have everyone healed. Here's the bottom line. God wants everyone healed, but everyone will not be healed until we're in that kingdom authority again, either in heaven with him or here on the earth. And again, as he walked in that kingdom authority, we saw that everyone was healed. But that's why people aren't healed today oftentimes. Now, do I believe in healing today? Absolutely. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God heal me. I've seen God heal people over the years throughout history, saints that have been healed. And again, God's miracles all through the book of Acts were after he ascended back up into heaven. But we have to realize God doesn't heal everyone. He is willing to heal all one day in the future, and he will, but God has his purposes. And even as he told Paul, he said, Paul, you know what? I'm not going to heal you, but my grace will be sufficient. If God chooses not to heal you for his purposes, his grace will be sufficient. He will give you what you need. Now, with that said, again, first I want you to realize it's not a lack of faith oftentimes why people aren't healed. It's simply that God doesn't want to heal them at this time, or maybe he's going to wait till the kingdom, whatever the case might be. If you need healing, you need to cry out to the Lord and say, God, I believe in your healing power. Would you heal me? The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means if he healed then, he can heal now. And the question is, you know, and we oftentimes all have that question, is God going to heal me? I don't know. But because we don't know, we need to come to him and we need to ask. Because again, God does heal today, not because it's an issue of faith and lacking faith oftentimes. But again, it's a matter of maybe God doesn't want to. And so God has his purposes and knows what he's doing, even as he did with Paul in Paul's life. But we're going to see that this is a chapter filled with healing. And so let's just jump into it and watch how the Lord works. Look at verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now, again, this is even before he does these miracles. Simply the teaching of the Lord and the word spreading about these powerful things he was saying was drawing large crowds toward him as he works down the mountain toward Capernaum. And it says, behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, this is amazing. Let's first of all talk a little bit about leprosy. Now, leprosy is still around today. It's called Hansen's disease. However, there are treatments for leprosy today, so it's not as hideous as it was back in their day. But in their day, there was no treatment for it, and it completely destroyed you over time. Here's how leprosy worked. It started unseen at first under the skin, and then it would slowly come to the surface of the skin where it made your skin hard and shiny, and then it would begin to spread across your body and begin to move to your extremities and begin to deaden your nerve endings. And as it deadened your nerve endings, it would begin to kill the ends of your fingers and toes. And some even believe possibly because of the abuse that the fingers and toes would take because you didn't use caution because you couldn't feel anything. Either way, you begin to lose a finger at a time. You begin to lose your toes. Some would lose hands and feet. It was, as one man said it, was death by inches. It was a miserable death. And in addition to that, at some point, your nose would actually fall off your face. And you wouldn't have a nose anymore. At the same time, they said the skin would change so much that your face would begin to look like a lion. And so you looked almost like an animal. And at the same time that all this was happening, you would develop this horrible odor because you were rotting from the inside out. Now imagine what you would be like in a society having those problems. In addition to the Jews, you were considered unclean, which meant you were put out in the leper colonies. You were put outside of the camp. The priests that were there in Jerusalem would look at you. They would determine if you had leprosy. They would cast judgment on you, and they would move you outside where you couldn't interact. Your social life with Israel and your family was gone. Now, on top of that, if that wasn't enough, they believed that you were cursed specifically by God if you had leprosy. So much so that if you came around, they would yell at you. They would oftentimes throw rocks at you to get you away. So imagine the life that you live. Total rejection, miserable physical condition, rocks thrown at you if you ever came around. If you came anywhere close again, you would have to stay at a certain distance. You'd have to cover your mouth. Kind of sounds familiar to today, right? As far as certain illnesses, if you would. But it was much worse with leprosy. This is what this guy was facing. Now, here's what's amazing. Because lepers knew they could not approach anyone. They would make them Levitically or religiously unclean. People would throw rocks at them. People would do this. This man was so desperate, and he believed so much that Jesus could heal him. What does he do? He runs toward Jesus, and he comes to the Lord. We don't know if he's running or not, but I would have been. He comes toward Jesus and falls down, begins to worship him, and asks to be healed. Now, imagine what the crowd did. Picture in your mind the crowd. Here's this massive crowd around the Lord. Here comes a leper. What do you think everybody did? I mean, you talk about the splitting of the Red Sea. It's just everything divided. Everybody's, whoa, you know, and they fall back like you're getting away from this guy because they don't want to get leprosy or whatever. And the guy falls down. No doubt the crowd is saying, what is this guy doing? He's unclean. God hates him. Why is he coming around this great rabbi? And certainly this rabbi is going to rebuke him and tell him how evil it is and get out of there and maybe throw a rock and everybody else throw rocks at him. That's not our Jesus. That's not our Jesus. When you come to Jesus with leprosy, he will touch you, he will heal you, he will receive you. Now, why do I say that? Because leprosy in Scripture also had another application. It is a picture of sin in the Bible. It starts under the surface unseen. It spreads across the body and it makes you numb where you no longer feel it any longer. Is that not a great description of sin? I can remember as a kid growing up, the first time I did something wrong, my heart's beating a million miles a minute. Oh no, I'm doing this, but I'm going to because I really want to do it, but nobody will know. It's under the surface, right? Maybe I'll try it again. So I go to try it again. My heart's beating a little bit less this time, and it's easier, and I get away with it. And the more I do it, you know what? I get number and number to the fact that it's wrong until finally, what's the big deal? What does it matter? This isn't that bad. Look at our culture today. Are we not becoming leprous as a culture? Remember the things that used to shock Americans 50 years ago? We're now just broadcasting these things on our news and in our papers and on our streets. We've become numb to the things that the Bible says are sinful. And we have to be careful. Listen, we are to love those that are in sin. Even as we're going to see Jesus here, love this leper, who I'm not saying was in sin because of his leprosy. But he certainly was a sinner, even as we are coming to Christ for forgiveness. But the reality is, he was still sensitive to this particular individual. He still showed love to this individual. Guys, we have to be sensitive to those around us. We have to show them love, but let's not grow hardened. Don't grow numb to the sin around us in the culture. And this is even more important. Don't go numb to the sin in your own life. It really bothered us at first. But you know what? It's not so bad. Now, I can even go to church and feel okay. Really? No conviction? Nothing stirring going, I really need to repent of this. I shouldn't be doing this. Look, I'm not saying you shouldn't come to church if there's something you're doing in secret. This is where you need to be. This is God's hospital. This is where God brings healing. You're welcome. God welcomed those that were living the way they knew they shouldn't live. God brought them in. But if we're here and it's not bothering us, there's no conviction. There's nothing that's making us think, you know what, I need to do something. We have become leprous and we don't even know it. And the problem with leprosy, the same thing it does physically, it does spiritually. It will destroy us inch by inch, piece by piece. We become more and more shriveled as a person spiritually. We become less effective for the Lord until finally it just devours our life and destroys us. And so if you have that going on in your heart this morning, ask God to give you a sensitive heart again. Say, God, soften my heart. Even as we need to be praying for God to soften our hearts culturally about the things that are going around us, and how we view them, not to grow deadened to them, if you will. But notice about this leper. He's an amazing man for a number of reasons. Again, you would think, what's amazing? He came there, not just the boldness of coming there, but look what it says he did. He came and he worshiped the Lord. This word worship is a word that means specifically bowing down with your head to the ground and was something that Jews only did for God. Now, wait a minute. How could this leper know that Jesus was God? How could this leper know that Jesus was the Messiah when the majority of Israel didn't even know this at this point? Because this was a desperate man who had been crying out to God and he was in desperate need to be touched by the Lord. And I'll tell you this, when you're living a desperate life in a desperate situation and you begin to cry out to God with all your heart and all your soul, you're gonna know God in a way you've never known him before. Listen, I don't look forward to that. I don't ever want to go through those kind of things again like I've done in the past or, you know, disciplines or whatever God's done or kind of trials. But I will tell you this, when I was in that place of desperation when God first brought me to him, I was hearing more from God than I've ever heard in my life. The sensitivity, God being close to me, there's something about a desperation crying out to God. And it would appear from this passage, in his desperation, as he cried out, God supernaturally revealed to him, that is my son. He is the Lord. He is God in human form. Go to him. He will heal you. Maybe God gave him a vision. We don't know. And it further bears out when he said to him, notice this, Lord. Just pause there a moment. This is the first time in the Gospels that anybody called Jesus Lord. It's a leper who's been in a colony away from Bible study, away from synagogue, away from the things of the people of God, and yet he knows this is the Lord. God had come to this man. God had spoken to this man supernaturally. It's very clear. Jesus recognized this. He knew this had happened. And notice what he says, Lord, if you're willing, I love this, you can make me clean. Notice he didn't say, Lord, if you can. He knew he could. He had no doubt in his mind. It wasn't, Lord, if you can. It's, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. How many of you know the Lord can heal you? Listen, if you need a healing today and you know that the Lord can heal you, you don't doubt, you have the faith to believe, you need to pray in your heart today, Lord, if you're willing, would you heal me? You know, maybe God is not going to heal you right now. We talked about that. Maybe there's a purpose for your ailment because God's doing something in your life that he couldn't do without that ailment. Who knows? But the bottom line is, this may be your day. God may this day say, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you. But you need to ask him. And you need to go before him in your heart the same way this leper did and say, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, there's two applications here. Actually, three. Number one, you can make me clean from the leprosy. The application for us is, Lord, you can make me clean from my sin, because sin is a picture of leprosy, but also you can make me clean by bringing me back into my social construct. That is, remember, he'd been outcast from his society. And so this would have been a cleansing in a number of ways, physically, spiritually, socially, in every way. This man would have been brought back in. Lord, this is what I need. And the boldness he came with, listen, no doubt all eyes were on him. The crowd backing away from everyone watching to see what the Lord is going to do, and watch what happens. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and he touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Several things to note here. Notice Jesus did not have to touch him. Jesus could have said, you're healed. All he has to do is give the word. We're going to see in the very next scene here in just a moment. He just speaks the word and the man's healed. He didn't have to touch him. Why did Jesus touch the leper? Because the leper needed to be touched by the Lord. You need to cry out to him to do that. He wants to touch you. He wants to have that personal connection. He didn't want just a phone call from heaven. He wants to lay his hand on you and say, I'm right here, and I know your situation, and I love you, and I care about you, and I'm either going to heal you now, or I'm going to give you the grace and whatever I'm going to do. This man needed to be touched. You know, lepers, you couldn't touch a leper. Who knows how long it had been since he had been physically touched. And now who touches him but the Lord? But note this, it was against Jewish law to touch a leper. You would be unclean. If you were Levitically, religiously unclean. But Jesus was not unclean, because look what happened. It says immediately the leprosy was cleansed. So the moment Jesus touched him, the man was immediately healed. And so he didn't touch a leper. He healed a clean man before him. But note this, there's something I want you to grab. If the Lord touches you today, your healing and your cleansing is immediate. If you confess your sin to the Lord today, know that when you confess your sin and believe that Jesus died for you, you are forgiven at that moment. See, my problem is, and was for years, I knew mentally that I was forgiven, but I just felt this guilt. And I would keep asking forgiveness over and over and over. Like, I'd make sins up. Lord, maybe I did that. Please forgive me, or whatever. The guilt was amazing because I'd done so much that was wrong. You need to know this. If you ask his forgiveness, it's done. Immediately you're healed. Immediately you are cleansed. And that's what he told this man, and that's what he showed this man. And then Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one. What kind of directive is that? Imagine that. Okay, I just changed your life forever. Don't tell anybody. All right? I'm not, you know, poking fun at that. I'm saying I find that amusing. The Lord, you know, was basically, he knew the man would probably do it, But the Lord was trying to restrain him as much as he could be restrained, because Jesus didn't want yet to be revealed to the nation as the Messiah. He was waiting on a special day when he rode in on the donkey. He was waiting for it to gradually spread, because then the crowds get so big, he can't travel around freely. He can't even do the things he wanted to do. It makes the ministry a little bit more difficult if they know he's the Messiah. So he tells him, don't go and say anything. And he did the same thing I would have done. Another gospel tells us he went and told everybody. And that's exactly what I would have done. Okay, Lord, boom, guess what happened? You know, I can just see this. You got to love it. And then so he says, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Note that. Now, why was this so huge? Listen, I've read commentators that said, hey, this guy never did go and do what Jesus asked him to do, but we give him a pass because he was so excited. I definitely believe he did what Jesus asked him to do. He just didn't do it right away. Listen, if you were healed from some amazing malady and Jesus said you go do this, would you go do it? Of course you would. And again, besides, if he didn't go do it, he wouldn't be cleansed by the priest, so to speak, ritually, which we'll talk about in just a moment, and accepted back into the society. So it wouldn't do him any good to be cleansed. He'd still be an outcast. So I believe he definitely went to the priests, but at the same time, notice what the Lord was doing. It's not just for his cleansing, but it was as a testimony to them. Why? Because if a leper showed up to those priests, there would be no denying that Jesus Christ was no ordinary man. You see, this would take away every excuse the high priest had, that all the lower priests had, that anyone and everyone in Jerusalem would hear this. This man healed a leper, and this is unbelievable, and so it has to be something. And let me explain why, what happened with leprosy. Here's what happened. If you were healed of leprosy, by the way, no one was healed, no Jewish person was ever healed of leprosy that we know of in the scripture, except for one, and this one, number two. Well, now 10 more later, so it's more than when Jesus came. Better stop counting. But up to this point, before Jesus, only one person had been healed of leprosy. Miriam. Remember when they came out of Egypt? And Miriam said, who made you the pastor? Who made you the one with all the... I want authority as well. And God said, oh, really? You've got leprosy. Wow, that's a pretty big consequence, wouldn't you think? Well, then Aaron and Moses got together and said, Lord, please don't strike our sister with this death, because that's what this is going to end in. And God said, all right, by your request, I'll heal her, but I'm still going to discipline her. She's out of the camp for 7 months and whatever. And then God gave in Leviticus chapter 14, the ritual they were to do when there was the cleansing for a leper. They had not done this for 1,500 years. Aaron was the only one that had ever done it for his own sister. No other priest had ever done it. Mark, what about Naaman the Syrian? That's just it. He was a Syrian. He came down, Elisha prayed over him, he dipped in the Jordan 7 times, and he left. This was Israel. It had never happened. So imagine this, the faith of this man that had leprosy. He's going to say, I'm going to go see Jesus. What are you doing? You've got leprosy. I don't care. I'm going to go see him. God spoke to me. He can heal me. Look, man, you're diseased. You're an outcast. They won't let you near them. They'll throw rocks at you. Nobody's healed of leprosy. And he went. It shows you more of his faith, doesn't it?
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles, and then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today. But Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.